Security of 2020. Head to simplysafebeck.com. Get it right now and get a free HD camera when you order. It's simplysafebeck.com.
Local small businesses have been struggling across Alaska in recent months. No sector has been hit harder than Alaska tourism, which employs tens of thousands of Alaskans. Now, ballot measure one, which will raise state oil taxes, poses a new threat to jobs and our economy. Fishing charter captain Bob Kandopoulos with Saltwater Safari in Seward says ballot measure one is bad for Alaska. Here's Captain Bob.
I hear fish on less these days. The fish are here, there's just fewer people on my boats. It's a tough year, and many small businesses are on the ropes. A stable oil industry, supporting local jobs and businesses like mine, is vital, especially today. That's why I'm voting no on ballot measure one. Raising taxes on oil or any business now will hurt Alaskans and our economy even more.
Learn more about ballot measure one at onealaska.com. This communication was paid for by One Alaska Vote No on One, Anchorage, Alaska. Top contributors are ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips Alaska, and Hilcorp.
News and conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248 DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.
Uncertain times on Capitol Hill. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. Senate Republicans and the White House still trying to nail down the details of their latest coronavirus relief package, aiming for a less costly approach than the $3 trillion HEROES Act passed by the House. Fox's Chad Pergram on the Hill.
We were thinking we were going to get the text or at least a framework of this piece of legislation today. We don't have it. And there's an old dictum here on Capitol Hill that when things go quiet, that usually tells you that things are going sideways. And this morning, basically crickets. Usually when things are going well, things come in over the transom, the phone rings, the emails come in. Not today, because there isn't much of an agreement. They do have an agreement on the appropriation side of this, but not much else.
The Republican proposal, expected to total around $1 trillion, includes over $100 billion to help schools reopen, also $15 billion to help reopen daycare centers, and billions more for testing. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is rejecting any suggestion of breaking it into pieces.
This is a package. We cannot piecemeal this. As you see, it has an integrity. It has a oneness about meeting the needs of the American people.
Democrats are pushing for an extension of the expanded federal unemployment benefits set to expire next week. Republicans are considering lowering or tailoring the amount to mitigate the effects of some workers getting paid more to stay home. Anxiety taking over on Wall Street. An hour to the close, the Dow's been down over 300 points, the NASDAQ down over 2%. Just getting reports that the Justice Department watchdog will investigate the use of force by federal agents in Portland, Oregon, and in Washington, D.C.'s Lafayette Square. Local officials have accused the federal government of overstepping its authority. The Homeland Security chief has said they have a duty to protect federal property. America is listening to Fox News.
Hey, if you're looking to cut costs and free up some cash on a monthly basis, start today with Pure Talk USA. Now, the average family of four is saving over $800 a year on cell phone service by switching to Pure Talk USA. Now, every plan includes unlimited talk and text. And by the way, just starts at $20. So switch to Pure Talk today. Just dial #250, keyword Pure Radio. Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text from Pure Talk USA.
Everyone is talking about David Horowitz's new book, Blitz. It's a number one Amazon bestseller and just hit the New York Times bestseller list. Blitz reveals the truth about Trump. Don Jr. and Mike Huckabee say you need to get Blitz. And follow David Horowitz every night on Newsmax TV, America's fastest growing cable TV channel. Get the new bestseller, Blitz, at bookstores or get the free offer and save $28. Call 800-NEWSMAX or go to blitz411.com. That's blitz411.com.
There's no better way to enjoy the Alaskan outdoors than heading out of town to go camping. When you do, drop by Frontier Outfitters for the right equipment from the brands you trust to get the most out of your experience. Mountain Hardware, Kelty, Coleman, Jetboil, Slumberjack, and more. Garmin GPS as well. Frontier carries sunglasses by Oakley, Native, and others. Name brand camping essentials, tents, cookware, and sleeping bags. If camping is in your future, visit Frontier Outfitters today. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design. It's that time of the year when projects tend to take over many lives. Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. Our Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline exposed to extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you or I settle for anything subquality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. Because as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
I don't have any sound. I don't have any sound. What are we doing? Okay. Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255-458-TALK. It is another great day outside today. And for our out-of-state listeners, the sun is moving in and out of the clouds, and the temperature here is 55 degrees this morning. And here at the broadcasting station, Melissa is expertly running the board today. Thank you, Melissa. Now, July is National Ice Cream Month, as declared by Ronald Reagan in 1984. And today, July 23rd, is National Vanilla Ice Cream Day. To celebrate, eat as much ice cream as possible. Vanilla is the most popular ice cream flavor. It's said that vanilla is the world's second most expensive spice. Kashmiri saffron from India is the most expensive spice. But saffron is also cultivated in France, Morocco, and Iran. It's known as red gold. Saffron costs between $500 and $5,000 per pound. Or we could say a pound of saffron costs at least one mass market handgun or up to two older 6-inch pythons at about $2,500 each. That would be $5,000 a pound of saffron. And it's expensive because it's labor intensive to harvest. Saffron comes from the tiny thread-like stigmas of the crocus flower, and each flower has only three stigmas, so it's very labor intensive to pull those by hand. In some parts of the world, saffron ice cream is popular. But today is National Vanilla Ice Cream Day. So let's talk about that. Vanilla, or its source, the vanilla orchid, is the world's second most expensive spice, and it originated in Mexico. It was for many centuries the exclusive secret of the native Teutonic Indians, who were later conquered by the Aztecs. And some of the world's best vanilla still comes from Mexico, but it's also cultivated in Madagascar and other islands in the Indian Ocean. That vanilla is known as Madagascar's bourbon vanilla. And now, vanilla costs between $50 and $200 a pound. So all you can trade the raw vanilla in your vanilla ice cream for is a few boxes of ammo. It won't buy you a gun like a pound of saffron might. Now, the best ice cream I've had this summer is Snickerdoodle ice cream from Hot Licks on College Road. And I won't get fat eating Snickerdoodle ice cream because it is so incredibly rich that I can only eat a couple of spoons full of it before I've had enough. It is wonderful, especially if you like Snickerdoodle cookies. And I think it's okay to eat Snickerdoodle ice cream to celebrate Vanilla Ice Cream Day because there is lots of vanilla in each scoop. I read that the largest worldwide consumption of ice cream by volume is in the United States, where in 2018, the average American consumed about 23 pounds of ice cream per year. This might include frozen yogurt and sherbet. And I don't know what an average American is. They didn't define what that is. But I did read that in recent years, because it's exceptional high quality of their cream, New Zealanders lead the world in consumption of ice cream with a per capita consumption of 60 pints per year. Now, market analysts confirm that ice cream sales increase many times during recessions or wars. So I wonder if it increases in times of gun and ammunition shortages. Maybe we just eat more ice cream when we're stressed. And just like organizations that try to profile gun owners, Breyers Ice Cream Company did a survey to profile ice cream eaters. And they polled 2,000 Americans and found, and they didn't say how they found this out, what questions they asked, that vanilla fans and strawberry lovers are mostly introverted, while chocolate enthusiasts tend to be introverted or extroverted. Now, 90% of American households eat ice cream. But listeners, only 4 in 10 adults, or approximately 42% of households in this country, own at least one gun in their home. So we have more ice cream eating households than we have gun owning households. So when the robbers break in, I suppose the non-gun owning but ice cream eating households can just say to the bad guys, since I can't defend my home with a firearm, how about if I offer up a few pints of ice cream to help us de-escalate this situation? But let me leave you with a couple of thoughts. First, in Alabama, Kentucky, and Georgia, it is illegal to carry an ice cream cone in your back pocket. People would put a cone in their back pocket with a scoop of ice cream sticking out and walk by horses to lure the horses away, and the horses followed the ice cream cone. So these laws were to curb horse theft. And second, think about this. Is ice cream a warm dessert if you eat it on a 40 below Alaska winter day?
We have a caller.
Okay. Caller, this is Laura.
Yeah. This kind of weather puts me in mind of in the past when I've been hunting in the fall and rainy weather and having a scope on a rifle there.
I didn't
have very high quality scopes there, so they weren't, better ones are sealed so that you don't have any internal fogging.
Right.
But on the external there, I've seen two types of ways to protect the scopes. One was kind of a rubber band and a cap system, which you could put the cap on either end of the scope and try to protect it from the moisture. And the other thing was where you had some sort of flip-up deal and it was screwed into the scope, I believe.
Yes.
But maybe there's some people with more experience than me that could talk about that, and maybe you could talk about it as well. I'll hang up here and listen to your response.
Okay, thank you for that question. My experience is exactly the same as yours. Either the rubber caps that stretch and go on, or the flip-up caps. So if there's anyone else out there in our audience that can add something to that, how to protect your scope lenses in the rain and in bad weather, please call in and let us know what you suggest. And thank you for that question. Okay, I've arranged with Ryan Urong to call in the program today after the first commercial break. Ryan is president of Fairbanks Alaska Shooters. We call that FAS for Fairbanks Alaska Shooters. And that organization is associated with the United States Practical Shooting Association, USPSA, and holds events throughout the year, usually at a range they use in Fox or at the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association. Ryan will tell us about a big event coming up, but I will have him on the program for a full hour another time so he can explain the events FAS holds and also about the opportunities to learn to shoot and participate in this sport from experienced USPSA shooters. Now, after Ryan talks with us in a little while, I am going to roll our time capsule and subject for the day into one, and it is about Theodore Roosevelt and his guns. I want to thank Glenn and Suzanne Miller for giving away copies of Gavin DeBecker's book, Gift of Fear, last week. And remember, today I have a giveaway, a copy of the NRA's Personal Protection Outside the Home book. And this will go to the first person who calls into the program this morning and tells us, now let me give you the hints. According to Gavin DeBecker, and it's in his book, there was a study done in the 1960s to determine which single word had the greatest psychological impact on people. And they tested words such as spider, snake, death, rape, incest, and murder. And the first person who calls in to tell us what word elicited the greatest fear response and why will receive a copy of the NRA's Personal Protection Outside the Home book. Okay, and let me just give you one hint. They strike randomly. There's no warning. They seem soulless and dispassionate in their attack. And I'll give you one more hint. They have fins and teeth. Okay, we're going to go to commercial break.
Arizona, where the bad men are. The only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design. It's that time of the year when projects tend to take over many lives. Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. Our Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline exposed to extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you or I settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. Because as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
When you get out and play, Alaska Roads and Byroads take you to some amazing places. Don't travel alone. Take the confidence you receive from Arctic RV right along with you. Wheel bearings to lights, wiring to appliances. Service from Arctic RV keeps your trailer, motorhome, and camper in top shape. Need parts? Check out their huge parts showroom. Arctic RV, open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Schedule your appointment now. Alaska plays rough. Rough it in style with Arctic RV. 30th and Pegger, Fairbanks.
Extend the life of your car or truck. Keep it in top shape with Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers is a complete auto shop. They do it all. Tune-ups to winterizing. Even engine and transmission rebuilds right on the premises. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. They've been helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Call family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair and be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
Fish on! It's the Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Visit Frontier's extensive fishing department for conventional fly and saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Ricky Culpietro of KVAK Radio. I'm here with Lori Prox, who's in charge of marketing for Valdez Fish Derby. So I kind of want to cut to the chase here. Is Women's Derby happening?
The Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby is happening. It's going to be Saturday, August 8th. Fishing is a great activity. People can do it regardless of what's happening in the world and relatively safely. So we invite women to come to Valdez and go fishing Saturday, August 8th.
So what are the changes for 2020?
Well, Ricky, we won't be holding the big events at the Civic Center, but we will be fishing. Women, we hope, will come to Valdez and cast a line and have a chance to win a big prize here in Valdez.
Awesome. So speaking of winners, will a queen be crowned this year?
Yes, we will have first, second, and third place winners, cash prizes, and merchandise from the Prospector.
How do people find out more about the Women's Derby?
Well, you can visit valdezfishderbies.com. There's a Women's Derby page, and it'll have all the information there. Registration starts August 1st at the Prospector, runs all the way through Saturday, August 8th. People can register that morning even and head out fishing. And our weigh-in folks will be ready. We are asking that people only weigh their fish if they have a contender for the top three, as we're trying to limit the number of folks at weigh-in this year.
Eagles Rest RV Park is open. Full hookup RV and tent sites are available. And cabins are now available. For the safety of our guests and employees, we have some changes around the park, but you can escape to Valdez and enjoy the original social distancing activity. Camping. Eagles Rest RV Park is available by phone, or guests can use our check-in app, Campers app. Visit EaglesRestRV.com and escape to Valdez.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Frontier Outfitters brings you the Valdez Fishing Report, helping you make your next fishing adventure a success. Rods to tackle, coolers to camping gear. It's your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK. Tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. And if any of you have information for the gentleman who called in about the scope, maybe they make some scope umbrellas that I don't know about. But if you have any suggestions for him to keep his scope lenses clear in this rainy, messy weather we've been having, please call in and let us know. And while I'm waiting for Ryan to call in, I'm going to get started here on our main topic for today. Now, as usual, when I research a topic for Shooter's Corner, I start with an idea I think I might want to talk about, and then I end up really far from that idea when I'm finished. And Melissa, the board operator, is sitting over there laughing. I'm sure that happens to a lot of you out there. So being July 23rd, I thought I'd talk about the Nautilus, and not Nemo's Nautilus from Jules Verne's novel 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea from 1870, but the USS Nautilus, our first nuclear submarine, which was... Oh, okay, we've got a call already. So, caller, this is Laura.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, is this Ryan?
No, this is Matt.
Oh, this is Matt. Okay.
Yeah, I got an idea for that guy.
Yes.
Inner tubes. And you cut in 3-inch strips of them across, and you pull it tight across your scope. They work awesome.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, and you can make a couple spares. You can make about 100 of them out of a big truck inner tube.
Oh, okay. That's a great idea. Thank you so much.
Yep. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Bye. All right, idea number one, keep them coming. All right, so I just started talking about the Nautilus, which was our first nuclear submarine, and it was in service from 1954 through 1980. And we had just been talking about Admiral Rickover on July 9, and he was a remarkable man and the father of the nuclear reactor program in our Navy. And Admiral Rickover was responsible for creating the USS Nautilus nuclear submarine. On July 23, 1958, the Nautilus departed from Pearl Harbor under orders Operation Sunshine. And its mission, okay. Caller, this is Laura.
Hey, good morning, Laura. It's Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. Okay, I'm glad you called in.
Yeah, sorry. We're struggling at the holster shop.
Okay, well, I'm glad you guys are busy there.
Yes.
Don't forget, folks, 40 Below Holsters, that's where you want to go and get your holsters made. Okay, what do you have to tell us about what's coming up in the near future with FAS?
We have a full schedule, so we shoot year-round.
Okay.
We shoot the first and third Sunday of every month, and then we shoot every Tuesday while we're outdoors.
Ah.
So for now, we're out in the Fox Range, and we have 3 different squad times for Tuesday night. The idea for our Tuesday night match is so that you can come in and shoot, still be home in time for dinner.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. That's great. That's super. So is there a big event coming up?
There is. We have the Alaska Peace Officers Association. It's a concealed carry match. The match was designed for first responders to come out and shoot. That includes legally armed citizens, police officers, fire, EMS.
Okay. Now, you're cutting out a little bit. Did you say that anybody could participate or just the peace officers?
Nope. So this is for any legally armed citizen.
Okay.
So
legally
armed
citizen.
If you're able to carry a firearm, you're welcome to come and shoot.
Well, this sounds like a lot of fun. Tell us the time, where to go, who to contact.
Okay. Yeah. So The president of this chapter of the Alaska Peace Officers Association is Jason Parrish.
Mm-hmm.
Jason is at Eielson. Let me turn my phone off here so I can hear, not me.
Okay.
So Jason Parrish and myself are putting together the match. It's comprised of a lot of volunteers, though. We couldn't do it by ourselves. You can contact Jason at 910-261-8634. The match entry fee is only $25, and we have sponsors from all over the country, local sponsors from 40 Below Holsters. We got a lot of people putting prizes on the table, and that's going to be a random drawing, so it's not necessarily just how well you shoot. Everybody should walk away with something from that prize table.
Oh, that's a great idea. That
yes,
is,
ma'am.
That's really a wonderful way to thank people for coming out and participating. Now, where do they go?
So for this match, we're going to be out in the Fox Range. David Dwyer is the owner of the Fox Range LLC. So when you go down the East Highway at the four-way where Silver Gulch is, instead of turning left to go to Silver Gulch, you'll hang a right towards Chattanooga.
Okay.
And it's about a mile and a half up the road across the street from the welding shop.
Okay. And do they have to pre-register, or can they register when they get there?
You can register on-site. That would be okay. We plan on going hot at 9 a.m., so you need to be there a little bit earlier than that. You know, between 8 and 8:30, we'll have a full briefing on what to expect from the match and how it's going to be ran. There's going to be some props out there. This is a team thing from Fairbanks Alaska Shooters, the Alaska Peace Officers Association, CAPS, our sister club out there from Chattanooga. A lot of folks in AIM, a lot of us are putting it together, and really it's a memorial match, and we just want to see some of our friends and get together for an annual match.
And let me just say a couple more things. Are there any requirements on, so it's concealed carry, concealed holster, are there any requirements or limitations on the type of firearms equipment people can use in this match?
So there are. And I'll be honest, Laura, there's a lot that goes into the division.
Oh, yes.
Division mm-hmm. eligibility. What I would suggest is maybe if someone is out there that's listening to you, give us a call, maybe even at the shop, or my personal cell phone or Jason Parrish. We can go over the divisions and the eligibility for each division.
Okay, so let me repeat. Jason's phone number is 910-261-8634, and if they want to get a hold of you, Ryan, do they just call you at 40 Below, or do you want to give out a number?
Sure, you can give me a call at my cell phone number, which is 907-888-7900.
Okay.
And I'm happy to answer whatever I can. The match is this Saturday, July 25th.
Okay.
We can go over, you know, divisions and what to shoot in. I will say that if you are an active APOA member, the match is free.
Oh, okay.
So if you have a membership to the Alaska Peace Officers Association, they're covering your match. The idea is for a memorial and just a get-together of friends and get our shooting community bound together.
Well, I want to tell our listeners that this even... It would be great if you shot in it, but if you didn't, just to go out and watch and support our peace officers and the people in our community that are participating in the firearm sports, I think that would be a wonderful thing to do, and I expect you've got tents to keep people dry if it rains.
Oh, absolutely. We got a band of tents. We actually just had a good friend of ours get married last weekend, and we were surprised ourselves at how many people have tents to throw our way.
Oh, that would be Sydney Pace, right?
Sydney Pace, yeah.
Pace. And a lot of you listeners remember Sydney from working the front desk at the fishing game range, indoor shooting range. Sydney just got married this last weekend. So.
Yeah. Congrats, well, Sydney and Jess.
Well,
yeah, so we'll have some dry storage areas or some dry areas to keep your gear.
Okay.
We'll have some specific directions as to what you need to do when you get to the range, but we'll have people spread out all over that will help direct people. And it, like you said, if you wanted to come out and just take a look, maybe meet some of the shooters, meet some of the fast staff, we are always welcome to new shooters in our shooting community.
That I appreciate that, and I think it would be great fun to watch the peace officers shoot. And
oh,
give
absolutely.
Them support. So let me give these phone numbers once more.
Sure.
Jason, for people who need to contact Jason Parrish at 910-261-8634 or Ryan Yurong at 907-888-7900. And listeners, I hope some of you can make it out this weekend and have fun. And if you do, call in here next Thursday and let us know all about the match. And I'm going to have Ryan on this program for a full hour to talk all about the USPSA type of shooting and how you can get experience and learn from the people in town who have that experience. So I'll be giving you that date as soon as Ryan and I nail it down. Ryan, thank you so much for calling in. Is there anything more you want to add?
No, you know, we hope to see everybody that we can out there. It's important for us both on the competition shooting side to just the legally armed citizen, bind together and stand up with each other. It's going to be an awesome event, lots of prizes, lots of fun. And I should also add the APOA is going to be providing lunch for the shooters.
Oh, great.
So there'll be a free lunch out there for the
great. Oh, super, super. That's great. Well, we're going to have to go to a hard commercial here in a few seconds,
okay.
So thank you so much for calling in.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye, Ryan. Okay, folks, are we ready for that commercial yet, or just a few more seconds? Hang on before I start another subject here. And remember to call in for winning that book if you can. All right, here we go.
Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.
I'm Steve Rappaport. A federal judge ordering the government to release President Trump's former attorney from prison. The judge ruling Michael Cohen's home confinement was revoked as retaliation for writing a tell-all book about the president.
Cohen pleaded guilty in 2018 to campaign finance violations stemming from hush money payments to women who said they had affairs with then-candidate Trump. Michael Cohen tweeted in July that his book is due out in September, less than 2 months before the election.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Coronavirus infections continue to soar in the South.
Florida reports 173 new deaths blamed on coronavirus disease. That's a new single-day record. Alabama reports about 2,400 new cases today, and that's a record increase for that state. Georgia adds more than 3,300 new cases. Nationwide, there have been 4 million recorded cases.
Fox's Evan Brown. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Mayor of Anchorage is limiting gathering sizes and the number of people allowed in bars, restaurants, and entertainment venues in response to rising coronavirus cases. The order by Mayor Ethan Berkowitz cites a need for increased restrictions on public interactions due to resurgence in cases. Berkowitz's order takes effect on Friday. The new restrictions come on top of an existing order previously issued by Berkowitz mandating use of face coverings in certain indoor public settings. And finally, the Alaska Division of Elections has reported a statewide mix-up by the Alaska Republican Party in thousands of absentee ballot applications mailed out this month by the party, and which has caused some voters to become concerned about possible fraud. The Newsminer reports an information merging error dislocated the names and addresses of thousands of Alaska voters registered as Republican, undeclared, or nonpartisan. That is, anyone who qualifies to receive a Republican ballot in the mail, according to Jeremy Johnson, Fairbanks Region Division of Elections Director. Alaska Republican Party Director Glenn Clary cited a printing malfunction as the source of the error that resulted in approximately 22,000 misprinted absentee ballot applications being sent to the wrong recipients statewide.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design. It's that time of the year when projects tend to take over many lives. Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. Our Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline exposed to extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you or I settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. Because as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
When you get out and play, Alaska Roads and Byroads take you to some amazing places. Don't travel alone. Take the confidence you receive from Arctic RV right along with you. Wheel bearings to lights, wiring to appliances. Service from Arctic RV keeps your trailer, motorhome, and camper in top shape. Need parts? Check out their huge parts showroom. Arctic RV, open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Now, Alaska plays rough. Rough it in style with Arctic RV, 30th and Pegger, Fairbanks.
Extend the life of your car or truck. Keep it in top shape with Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers is a complete auto shop. They do it all. Tune-ups to winterizing. Even engine and transmission rebuilds right on the premises. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. They've been helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Call family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair and be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Call in and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today, 458-8255, 458-TALK. We're waiting for a lucky person to call in and win the book, Personal Protection Outside of the Home, the NRA book, if they can tell us the secret word that causes the most fear in people that was talked about in Gavin DeBecker's book. And we're also taking calls from anyone who has more ideas on how to keep the rifle scopes clean in this rainy, messy weather we've been having. So I think I left off just telling you that on July 23rd, 1958, the Nautilus departed Pearl Harbor on a mission called Operation Sunshine. And its mission was to be the first vessel to cross North Pole by ship, and it achieved that goal on August 3, 1958. The Nautilus dived at Point Barrow, Alaska, and traveled 1,000 miles under the Arctic ice cap to reach the geographic North Pole. And there's a good story there. But in my research, of course, I got distracted by current news, and that was the removal of the statue of Theodore Roosevelt from in front of the American Museum of Natural History in New York City. And I do not like to see our history erased. Theodore Roosevelt was a product of his time as well as an amazing individual in his own right. So I decided to talk about President Theodore Roosevelt and his love affair with the Winchester rifles. But not to slight Admiral Rickover or the USS Nautilus, I asked KFAR tech guru Chris to post three links on my KFAR website page. That's KFARradio.com. Two of them are YouTube videos about the USS Nautilus, and the third I highly recommend. It was brought to my attention by Glenn Miller. It's a YouTube video featuring an interview done on 60 Minutes with Admiral Rickover and gives you great insight into his personality. So watch those videos later, and I'll get started on President Theodore Roosevelt now. Have you ever given a teddy bear to a child? Do you know what the inspiration for teddy bears was? Do you know who called his favorite Winchester a medicine gun for lions? When someone says the man in the arena, do you know what they're referring to? I'll bet you do know who said speak softly and carry a big stick. There's a proverb that means do not boast or issue verbal threats, but do make others aware that you're prepared to use physical force if necessary. And Theodore Roosevelt's credited with using that proverb. And over the years, there have been a number of historic international events that might be construed as big stick events for the United States. But the big stick I'm talking about might just be Roosevelt's 405 Winchester Model 1895 lever action rifle. Now, it just might be or maybe not. We'll just have to examine that. In April of 1909, the Smithsonian Roosevelt African Expedition was launched, and it was led by Theodore Roosevelt and outfitted by the Smithsonian Institution. Its purpose was to collect specimens for the Smithsonian's new Natural History Museum, now known as the National Museum of Natural History in New York. Now, Roosevelt's son, Kermit Roosevelt, on leave from Harvard, joined him, as well as a number of game and hunting experts and support crew. And along were an Australian sharpshooter, three American naturalists, a retired U.S. Army surgeon, a Stanford University taxidermist, a photographer, and a mammalogist. Of course, there were And I'm going to use a lot of quotes in this presentation. So, quote, porters, gun bearers, horse boys, tent men, and askari guards, unquote. And the term askari refers to, or it might be askari, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, refers to a local soldier serving in the armies of the European colonial powers in Africa. So they had the local soldiers along with them, too. And aside from all sorts of equipment, they had to take materials for preserving the animal hides. And that included borax, cotton batting, and 4 tons of salt. I read, quote, the column of porters would sometimes stretch out over a mile. Each porter carried a 66-pound load, while the Stars and Stripes tented camp had the appearance of an army post, unquote. And for his personal firearms, Roosevelt brought a model 1903 Springfield in .30-06, and for larger game, a Winchester model 1895 rifle in .405 Winchester. And I'll get back to the guns in a minute. He also brought an element of civilization, his pigskin library, which was a collection of classics, including Paradise Lost and Vanity Fair, bound in pig leather and transported in a single reinforced trunk. And according to Wikipedia, Roosevelt's expedition killed or trapped approximately 11,397 animals, birds, and insects. And I've not yet read his book, African Game Trails, but all of the larger animals shot by him personally and Kermit, his son, are listed on page 457 and 459 of that book. And I did look at a picture of those pages. And some of the animals that father and son, Roosevelt and his son, took were 17 lion, 3 leopard, 7 cheetah, 9 hyena, 11 elephant, 10 buffalo, 11 now very rare black rhino, 9 white rhino, 8 hippopotami, 29 zebra, 27 gazelles, and not less than 4 crocodiles is what the list said, 1 monitor, 4 pythons, and of course, many birds, plants, and insects. The grand total is 512 of animals and birds that just father and son took. And of course, the rest of the 11,397 species were taken or trapped by others on the expedition. Now, Roosevelt and his son Kermit are said to have kept only about a dozen trophies for themselves. The rest went into the Smithsonian. And are you wondering what all those people on the expedition ate? The expedition consumed 262 of the animals because they had to provide fresh meat for the large number of porters that serviced the expedition. So Roosevelt was criticized in some circles for the large amount of animals that he killed. He said, quote, I can be condemned only if the existence of the National Museum, the American Museum of Natural History, and all similar zoological institutions are to be condemned, unquote. And for those who at the time thought the expedition killed an excessive number of animals, something to consider is that those animals were harvested over a period of 10 months. And they were procured over an area that ranged from Mombasa through Kenya to Uganda and the southern Sudan. And because of the diversity of the larger mammal species that were collected, few individuals of any species were shot in any given area. At that time in history, the number of large mammal species collected by Roosevelt's expedition had little impact on the very large size herds of game that roamed in East Africa at that time. Compared to other white hunters of the time, Roosevelt's expedition did not take all that many animals. One comparison made is that the Roosevelts shot just 11 elephant, while another white hunter of the same time killed over 1,000 elephants. And apparently, at that time in history, the white hunters, that's what the term that was used then, were employed by landowners to clear animals from land they wanted to use for plantations. So massive amounts of African species were being killed off, but not in comparison by Theodore Roosevelt's expedition. Roosevelt was considered a conservationist at the time. In fact, the work that he did when he returned to the States and the work with the British government is considered responsible for some of the important game reserves that we have now on the African continent. And the expedition was not only about hunting, because Roosevelt interacted with famous professional hunters as well as land-owning families, native people, and their local leaders. Now, on to the guns. I found considerable amount of information about Theodore Roosevelt and his love of guns in an article published June 2, 2016 in the NRA's American Rifle magazine. The title is Theodore Roosevelt's Winchester Rifles by Philip Shear, and you can find that article on the web. And did you know that Theodore Roosevelt became a lifetime member of the NRA while he was president in 1907? He paid $25 for that membership. Today, a life membership lists at $1,500, but you can get them on special when NRA runs special for $600. Now, the article lists a number of Roosevelt's accomplishments, but what's important to me today is this quote. The most gun-savvy man to ever occupy the White House. When it came to gun knowledge or shooting skill, no chief executive now or then was his peer, unquote. And Roosevelt's favorite guns were Winchesters. When he was 22 years old, he ordered his first Winchester, a model 1876, and his favorite was the model 1895, and he used that almost up until his death. And we're going to cut to commercial break, and I'll be right back to finish up.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design. It's that time of the year when projects tend to take over many lives. Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. Our Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline exposed to extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you or I settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. Because as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Going camping, it's like visiting an old friend. There's always some new thing to experience. There's a sense of adventure that tickles your imagination, yet there's something so comfortably familiar. The smell of the crackling campfire and sipping that first steaming cup of coffee fresh from the percolator as you lounge in your favorite camp chair. Breathe the free air and dewdrop silence of the early morning stillness. Going camping, it's dependably familiar. Always surprising. Gear up and go with Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Today's forecast calling for some scattered showers, mostly cloudy and highs near 65. More showers this evening with cloudy skies, lows just around 50 as we head into tomorrow for Friday. More showers, cloudy skies and highs near 64 degrees, lows back around 50 again tomorrow night as we peek into the weekend. Showers in the morning on Saturday, highs near 64 degrees, lows around 50, and into Sunday, more showers likely and highs near 65.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Laura Berkowitz with Shooter's Corner, KFAR Radio. Call in 458-8255-458-TALK, and I'm going to continue talking about President Theodore Roosevelt. Now, the NRA article I had mentioned earlier says Roosevelt's Winchesters are, quote, legendary and priceless pieces of Americana, unquote. Roosevelt had money, so he had the financial means to own any rifle manufactured during his lifetime. But, quote, Roosevelt chose an American classic, or perhaps the rifles he chose help make them classics, unquote. And Roosevelt chose the Winchesters. And here's something I did not know, but it should give all of us with failing eyesight hope. A quote from the NRA article, Roosevelt's poor eyesight may have been a mitigating factor in his fondness for the arms of Oliver Winchester and his Winchester Repeating Arms Company. He was quoted as saying that he didn't know how to shoot well, but I know how to shoot often, unquote. And the Winchesters of the time were considered most reliable, and some models could hold up to 16 cartridges. And let me read another quote from that article. Roosevelt no doubt enjoyed the capability of having plenty of ammunition in the gun. as well as having a firearm that could easily bring each successive round into battery with effortless ease and remarkable reliability. To a man whose shooting skills was severely hampered by his eyesight, nearsightedness, and later blindness in one eye, the fact that a Winchester could be sighted and fired again without having to move the gun from his shoulder would have been a welcome feature for this bull moose of a man, unquote. And there is a record of Roosevelt purchasing 23 Winchesters, all similar in composition to each other. On his ordering the Winchester rifles, the NRA article says, quote, "When he wrote stocked and sighted to suit me, he meant that the gun should have half round and half octagonal barrels, pistol grip, deluxe checkered stocks, case hardened receivers, sometimes factory engraved, plain triggers, half magazines, shotgun butts, and special sights. Generally, enough special order features were desired by Roosevelt to cause the price of the gun to double," unquote. And if anyone understands why a half round and half octagonal barrel is a type of advantage to a person, please call in and let me know, because I don't know. Speaking of Roosevelt's persona, in the summer of 1883, he decided to hunt on the Dakota Badlands along the Little Missouri River with his Winchesters. And this sentence in the NRA article made me smile. Quote, "To those who had grown up on the plains, Roosevelt was the epitome of an Eastern dude, dressed in a fringed and embroidered shirt and buckskin pants with a brimmed Boss of the Plains Stetson. He looked the part of a hapless greenhorn that every dime novelist depicted," unquote. And that reminds me of some of the tourists that come to Fairbanks all decked out in their expensive, fancy, catalog-purchased fantasy Alaska wilderness outfits, none of which would keep them warm or dry here in our climate. So let me move on to Roosevelt's Smithsonian expedition. Prior to announcing his expeditionary trip to the public, Roosevelt had his personal secretary, William Loeb, send the following letter to Winchester, and it was reprinted in the NRA article, quote, "To the Winchester Repeating Arms Company from William Loeb, Jr., Secretary of the President, date July 16, 1908. Gentlemen, the President is going to Africa. He probably has all the rifles he needs, but his son has not. Before deciding what he will buy, the president would like to see your catalog. Will you send your catalog to the president at," and then the Oyster Bay, signed Loeb, unquote. So let me continue reading, quoting here rather than paraphrase. So this is a quote. "Such a simple letter started a chain of events that resulted in dozens of exchanges via wire and mail over the next year concerning the rifles and equipment needed for the great expedition to Africa. Far from wanting a few rifles from Kermit to have along on the safari, Roosevelt ended up having 15 wooden crates full of Winchester rifles and ammunition and spare parts for his expedition shipped by Winchester to his waiting steamers. Of the rifles he chose, the 1895 lever action in 30-30, as well as the 405 Winchester, to be the highlighted arms of the trip," unquote. So what and where is Theodore Roosevelt's 405 Winchester model 1895 lever action rifle? Though many of Roosevelt's guns that he kept in his personal collection are in museums, and some are actually in the NRA Firearms Museum, I could not find where that particular model 1895 and 405 that he personally used on the African trip ended up. And here is a description from the Winchester website that talks about that gun. "The model 1895 was the last John M. Browning design for Winchester. An important historical distinction is that the model 1895 was designed and engineered to accommodate a new generation of military cartridges utilizing smokeless powder. Another significant feature was the innovative non-detachable box magazine. The design made it possible to chamber in the revolution of more powerful pointed bullets. Winchester was a tubular magazine company until the Model 1895 came along. It was the first box magazine rifle developed by Winchester, unquote. And Theodore Roosevelt is said to have called this gun Big Medicine. The cartridge, the 405 Winchester centerfire, also known as the 405 WCF, was introduced in 1904 and designed, of course, for lever-action rifles. It's still considered one of the most powerful rimmed cartridges designed for lever-action rifles today. And I read that today there are cartridges that exceed this, and this is probably a subject better for Glenn, but the list that I read was the 50 Alaskan, the 450 Alaskan, the 475 Turnbull, the 348 Turnbull, and the 450 Marlin. So here's another quote. The original Winchester factory load consisted of a 300 grain soft point or metal patch, which is what they called a metal jacket bullet in those days, at 2,200 feet per second. Okay, caller, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura. It's Don Logan.
Hi, Don.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Good show. Very interesting info.
Thank you.
I just wanted to get the word out that outdoor cowboy action shooting will not take place this Sunday. The next shoot will be at Sunday, August 1st.
Okay.
So they've been shooting the second and the fourth Sundays, but there's a special event at the range this Sunday, so we won't be shooting cowboy there.
Okay. I'm glad you called in to let us know.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thanks, Don.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Now, when the Winchester model 1895 was discontinued in 1936, the cartridge was considered obsolete, and the catalog listing of the cartridge ceased in 1955. However, during the 100-year anniversary of Theodore Roosevelt's presidential administration in 2001, Winchester reintroduced the Model 1895 in 405 Winchester and revived the cartridge. So, of course, Winchester made good use of Roosevelt's fondness of this gun in their advertising campaigns. Roosevelt referred to this rifle as his medicine gun for lions, and I will tell you how that came about in a minute here. Here's a quote I read in Wikipedia from Roosevelt's book, The African Game Trails, in the seventh chapter. Quote, "But as we stood, one of the porters behind called out, 'Simba,' and we caught a glimpse of a big lioness galloping beside the trees just beyond the donga. Tarleton took his big double barrel and advised me to take mine, as the sun had just set and it was likely to be close work. But I shook my head, for the Winchester 405 is, at least for me personally, the medicine gun for lions," unquote. And as many of you probably know, Simba is lion in African, and I had to look up donga, which means a steep ravine. Now, getting back to the quote, "big stick," it is probably not true that the big stick is, in Speaking Softly and Carry a Big Stick, refers to the 405 Model 1895. One historian, and I quote, "although it is often said that Roosevelt called the 405 Model 1895 his big medicine, this phrase is never used in the book African Game Trails and is possibly an erroneous combination of his medicine gun quote with his big stick speech of 1901. So now we know how that got misunderstood. And I really hope I have time here to talk about the teddy bears. Yes, the teddy bear was invented in honor of Roosevelt. In November 1902, he was invited by Mississippi's governor to participate in a bear hunting trip near Onward, Mississippi. Other hunters in his group all shot bears, but Roosevelt had not located a bear to take. And without being asked, Roosevelt's assistants cornered and tied a black bear to a willow tree. And they called Roosevelt over and suggested that he shoot it. And Roosevelt refused to shoot the bear, finding the situation extremely unsportsmanlike. And news of the great big game hunter Theodore Roosevelt refusing to shoot this bear tied to a tree circulated in news articles all across the nation. Clifford Barrymore, who was a political cartoonist, lightheartedly satirized Roosevelt's refusal to shoot the bear with a cartoon that appeared in the Washington Post on November 16, 1902. A Brooklyn candy shop owner, Morris Mitchum, saw the cartoon and thought of an idea. Mitchum and his wife, in addition to selling candy in a candy store, also made stuffed animals. And Mitchum thought he could create a stuffed toy bear and, quote, dedicate it to the president who refused to shoot a bear, unquote. And guess what he called it? He called it Teddy's Bear, with an apostrophe S, Teddy's Bear. And Mitchum received Roosevelt's permission to use his name, and Mitchum began to mass produce these Teddy's Bears. So many people brought the Teddy's Bear, and Mitchum became so successful that he founded the Ideal Novelty and Toy Company. The Teddy's Bear was invented in 1903, but the Ideal Toy Company not only made those, but went on to be one of the largest manufacturers of dolls in the United States. And today we call the Teddy Bear, we call it a Teddy Bear without the apostrophe. We don't say Teddy's Bear. And so the origin of the Teddy Bear will forever be tied to Theodore Roosevelt's sense of fairness in the hunt. And folks, we're going to end this program here. Next week, I'm going to catch up on a lot of loose ends. I want to finish this story. I want to finish about the 21-foot rule. I want to finish about how to set up for practicing when you have multiple assailants. So we're going to use that hour to fill in all of that. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. KFAR 660 AM, Fairbanks. K248DK 97.5 FM, Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.